the latest edition of the Global Game Podcast from the World Baseball Softball Confederation as we near the start of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. My name is Tyler Mon. It's great to have you along for another edition of the Global Game as we're talking all things softball and baseball here on the official podcast of the World Baseball Softball Confederation. WBSC's 2022 calendar of events up now at WBSC.org. We have so much great stuff coming up for you on the softball and baseball sides in 2022. And on this month's edition of the Global Game, we are excited to talk with one of the stars and one of the biggest names going into one of our events in 2022. USA softball star Monica Abbott, a two-time Olympic silver medalist and one of the veterans who will help lead USA softball into the 2022 World Games. On home soil for the United States in Birmingham, Alabama, coming up later on this summer, Monica Abbott joins the show. We had a really great conversation. She is based in Northern California here in the United States these days, played her collegiate softball at the University of Tennessee. She'll be playing in the World Games for USA Softball, not too far away from Knoxville, Tennessee, where she played at the university level, and somebody who pitched in every single game for USA Softball during the Tokyo Olympics last summer as her team captured its second consecutive silver medal. Monica Abbott has been one of the biggest names in the sport for the entirety of her career, and somebody who now gets to help start to build the foundation of the next Olympic group for the United States. Los Angeles 2028, that is the calendar date that is circled from the Olympic standpoint for USA Softball. Monica Abbott, she may still be part of the team by then, but somebody who gets to contribute to what that foundation will look like for USA Softball and for the sport at large heading into 2028 with the Los Angeles Games. We had a really fun conversation, and a huge thanks to Monica for taking so much time to join us for this month's edition of the Global Game. Monica Abbott joins the show coming up next. And so pleased to be joined on this month's edition of the Global Game Podcast from WBSC by USA Softball's Monica Abbott, a multi-time Olympian silver medalist in 2008 and 2020, and somebody who's getting set for more international competition here in 2022. Monica, it's so good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Honestly, thanks for having me on the podcast, of course. Just love everything that the WBSC is doing and how we continue to try to promote this game. You know, more content is great. So thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're so excited to get a chance to talk to you. It's kind of a quiet time of the year right now. We're recording this in March, but it's definitely that time of year where I would imagine you're getting, it never dies down, it never ends, but you're probably getting ramped up for, especially going toward the summer, World Games, all that type of stuff. Since we saw you at the Tokyo Games in July and August, tell us about the last few months and kind of what the wind down from the very lengthy buildup to the Tokyo Games was, and now getting into 2022.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, Tokyo Games ended, and then, you know, I play internationally for Toyota Motor Corporation. So I was over there finishing my season. And then since then it was like off season, like, wow, you don't realize how important it is to take a break and to just be able to decompress, to just kind of evaluate, to be able to like absorb too, like so much happened in a short period of time.
Right.
There was a lot of emotional swings, a lot of ups and downs, and just changes that were going on within the world and with COVID, and just personally that, you know, you need time to decompress and to just like, to kind of just be still, you know. I think that was like the biggest thing for me the last couple of months, just because I think when you go nonstop 9-10 months out of the year, playing sport, traveling, trying to be at an elite level, trying to trying to take the level that you're playing at and like jump it up 2 or 3 notches, you know, that kind of bubble, that tunnel that you have to be in at that state, like both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and then of course personally, is really difficult to maintain. So doing that this last couple of months was really good to decompress, focus on myself and my life, and that's what I've been doing.
You are coming off of an Olympic year in which you were delayed by a year. And we've talked about this, you know, with a handful of athletes who we've had on the show who were present at the Olympic Games. You know, I know talking about it with Kat Osterman a couple months ago, what it was like getting to the stage where, you know, you're all set, you're 6 months away from the Olympic Games. And then all of a sudden everything goes into lockdown. Everything goes into a pause for a year. And you talk about that tunnel that you have to be in to be at your utmost and to be most ready to compete at the highest level. And you had to extend that for an additional 12 months beyond normal. What was the process like for you to stay, you know, especially through the early weeks of the pandemic and lockdown and not being able to, you know, work out and do things as normal? And then finding out that the Olympic Games were going to be pushed back a year. How did you keep yourself, especially mentally, at that level? Because that gets so exhausting.
Yeah, you know, I think, wow, it's still unbelievable that happened. You know, I think especially for the US team, it was pretty difficult. It was difficult for everyone, I think, involved in the Olympic Games, no matter what sport you played. But we were ramping up on our US Olympic tour. We had we were kind of like in the thick of the things, trying to start to get our team going, our team atmosphere, all of it. And then, you know, it's canceled. And then there was like kind of like a weird period where we kind of didn't know if the Olympics were going to happen. So right. You were still doing everything you could to train and just be at the best position possible for July. And then it got canceled. And there was kind of like this weird, almost just like mini closure piece you needed, but there was an open door with it. Like, so there was a lot of like transitional pieces, and that was difficult. I think anyone that played in the Olympic Games as an athlete or supported people there as staff or the organizations really had to pivot well, really had to adjust. And then obviously, you know, 2021 going into the Olympic year, you know, we started off that year not knowing if it was going to happen. So there was a lot of like, are we playing? Is it going to happen? I think all the way up until like almost March, this time last year, we weren't sure if it was actually going to happen or not. But it went on, and which is great. And just being able to continue to represent USA is definitely an honor, no matter what the struggles or adjustments you have to take.
For your team and for your sport, for softball and baseball players, it was even more agonizing, I would imagine, than for other athletes, because you hadn't gotten a chance to do this since 2008. So it's not as though you're just waiting around for the 2016 games. This is something that you've been waiting 13 years for, 12 years at first, and then 13 years last year. When you got to Tokyo, and you get to, you know, step into the Olympic Stadium and do all those things, it obviously was far from normal with no fans and all of that. But it's a very unique and special Olympic experience, to say the least. What was it like being back there, even though things were not normal compared to 2008 when you were in Beijing? What was the Tokyo experience like when you got there and kind of realized like, oh, we're back in the Olympics now?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think it was the Tokyo Olympic experience, just as far as how they managed everything, was really, really good. They shuttled people in. It was very safe. You know, but there was tons of protocols. Like we did like COVID testing every single morning. When we landed at the airport, we were there for like 3-4 hours just trying to get out of the airport to be like, to pass all the measures. There was a lot of just like protocols, just is the best way to describe it. There was just a ton of protocols that went along with it and made that Tokyo Olympics unique. I will say that I think I thought it was pretty cool, like just that one, it was still able to go on, to bring that many athletes, that many countries in one area. And I also love the fact that for softball, like we got to open the Olympic Games. Like, how cool is that? After everything that has happened to this sport, being in and out of the Olympic Games, and just how much the sport of softball has grown and how important women's sports is today and how much respect it's getting worldwide. Just how women's sports has just grown exponentially. For a women's sport that is huge in Japan and huge in the, obviously in the US, but has that tremendous growth worldwide. Like, I thought that was phenomenal to be able to open the Olympic Games as its premier sport. in Tokyo was such an incredible honor and really, really dang cool when you think about it.
And especially for you, somebody who's played there professionally, what was the feeling like? You know, you're there in a different context representing USA Softball, but somebody who's got so much experience having played in Japan in a bunch of different contexts, how did that feel for you being there, you know, wearing the USA across your chest, but also having been there already playing softball in so many other ways?
Yeah, I think for me, having played professionally there, you know, I kind of knew how their culture operated. I knew how their protocols were and things like that. So it was definitely easier for me to manage, probably rather than some other athletes. But I do think that just being in that stadium, being in that culture, knowing what it meant to the Japanese, knowing what it meant to the Japanese culture and to also the country was really huge. But then also on the flip side, knowing what the US had gone through, what my team personally had gone through, and just like the management of that side, really was a cool kind of unique bond that I could kind of meld and mesh the two sides together. So I thought that was, you know, a unique thing that, you know, not everyone gets to experience that.
When you finally get a chance to get together with your teammates there, you've got a group. You and I are both 85 summer babies. I'm like 5 weeks older than you, I looked up. So we get to now be the people who are on the stage of looking at the younger athletes. I'm not an athlete as much as I wish I was, but you look at that next generation of athletes that are coming up. Right. And that's what I always love about the Olympics is you see this next group, this next generation. What was kind of the first moment that you could tell, you know, you've got players on your roster who've got 97, 98 birthdays. When could you kind of have that moment of, you know, looking at somebody like Rachel Garcia or, you know, Bubba Nichols, somebody who is one of the younger athletes and think like, oh, they're into this moment now being at the Olympic Games?
I think it was, you know, seeing some of our younger athletes. I honestly think about like that middle generation, the ones that kind of started, the Haley McClinneys, the ones that are like right about 25, like they've been professional for like 2-3 years.
Right.
And, now they're on the Olympic stage. Like that is cool because I think for softball, it's been a challenge for athletes to continue to play. Like hands down, it's been a challenge for people to play post-collegiately. And so now having that Olympic boost, those are the people that are going to carry the torch. Those 25-year-olds, you know, the Amanda Chittisters, the Haley McClinneys, the Ali Aguilars, those people are going to carry the torch and be able to be the next voice and face that people recognize for the next 10 years. And because they have that little taste of the Olympics,
right?
Or that, I guess it was a big taste of the Olympic Games. And they have that little bit of awareness of the sport being like 3-4 years out professionally. They are now able to carry that torch and pass it on to the next generation, but also they're going to be that memorable face for the next several years where they know how to be a professional post Olympics.
Right.
And that's important. They're not trying to figure out who they are, what kind of athlete they are. They kind of have a general well-being and base of who they are as a professional. And now they're getting a big boost with the Olympic Games that'll take them into those, you know, LA 2028 games.
Right.
And that is huge for our sport. That is what is exciting because now they're going to have that name recognition, that brand recognition, that face recognition, not only in the American public, but obviously worldwide in our sport.
We're going to talk more about, you know, that next step and especially LA 2028, but I want to ask you about the Tokyo game specifically. The thing that stood out most, and especially now looking back at it, is how close every game was. I mean, you look at the 2008 games, and you guys played some 11-0 games, some 7-0 games, stuff like that. Every game that the United States played in the Tokyo games was a 2-run game or a 1-run game. And to see the way that softball has continued to grow and evolve in all these other countries, for somebody who was there in 2008 and was there last year, what was the thing that surprised and impressed you most about the other, you know, Mexico's there for the first time ever. They played you to a 1-run game. Canada was great as always. Australia, you're down 1-0 going into your last turn at bat before you walk off for when you got the win in that game. But what impressed you most about how the game had grown over 13 years since Beijing?
Definitely level of competition. I think technology has also played a huge impact. You know, we didn't, in 2008, we didn't see as much like video filming, just like people didn't know athletes as well. Like there was less studying involved. I think in the 2021 Tokyo Games, obviously there's more studying. People know these athletes, they know their tendencies, they know their strengths and weaknesses. I think also playing on a full turf field changes the game a little bit definitely. As well, especially defensively in the game of softball. So that changes it. So I'm not surprised that the games were a lot closer. I mean, people knew each other a lot better. And then just the support of all the WBSC events leading up to the Olympic Games. I mean, we were playing these teams. It wasn't the first time we played these teams. We knew them. They knew us. And it was just literally going head to head and seeing who was going to be better that day. And I mean, I think you saw that. I mean, look at, I think the game we played Japan in the gold medal game, but we played them the day before and we beat them by one run. And then, you know, they beat us. So like it was like that. And it's been like that in international competition for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. You get a 2-1 win on the 26th of July. And the next day you turn around and play them in the gold medal game and Japan ends up with a 2-0 win. And, you know, I know that's probably a difficult thing to think and talk about because you and your teammates who were there in 2008 have been waiting around for so long to get another shot at a gold medal game against Japan. Now being, you know, 9 months removed from it, whatever it is, how do you look back on that? That's such a good team on the other side. You guys have such a good team as well. That's a tremendous rivalry. And it feels from the outside like a very respect-filled rivalry too, where you and your teammates understand the quality of play that Japan's going to bring day in and day out. They respect the same thing about you. What is the bittersweetness like, or what is the, you know, the memory like now looking back on that gold medal game?
You know, I think, you know, obviously proud of what our Team USA was able to do. Yeah, it's a little bittersweet. We wanted you play to win. Everybody wants to win. That's what makes sport great. But I think, you know, I really do think about the Olympic Games, and I think about just the growth that it's had. Like you said, I think it shows in the overall tournament. It shows in those final games, like just the viewership and numbers that were put out and just the excitement that people still have to this day on it and talk about. I did an event like 2 nights ago and had, you know, 100 young softball players and about, you know, more than half of them coming through to say hello. We're like, oh, we watched you this summer. We were up every single game. You know, wow. Like, I can't wait for these girls to be able to watch in person or be able to, you know, watch at a decent time, right? Like, let's not wake up at 4 a.m. to be able to watch a gold medal game.
It was a little challenging. But like, I was, you know, on that boat too.
You know, I do think like that stuff is really cool. Just the health of the sport and just obviously the overall competitiveness. I obviously wanted to win a gold medal that day, but it didn't go our way. And that's the sport. We knew competition in the Tokyo Games was going to be tough. But you know, we weren't able to pull it off. So,
but you've got opportunities at big things ahead, including the World Games this year, which will be the top WBSC event for 2022. And then, of course, you are building toward Tokyo 2028 with this program. This is such an exciting chapter because, like you said, you get a chance to do events and talk to youth players who got to watch you and witness what it's like to see softball back on the Olympic stage. And if you're talking to, and this is crazy to think about, but if you are talking to youth players who are 11, 12, 13 years old, they have no memory of the 2008 games. Yeah. So to know that you were on that stage again, and you do get to inspire, you know, the see it, you can be it sort of a vantage point for young athletes these days. What did that mean to you having been in the 08 games as a younger athlete? You were 21 at the time, and now getting to be at a veteran stage in your career and carrying that torch for young kids who got to watch you this time around. How meaningful is that to you with the Tokyo games in the rearview mirror now?
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think it's a game changer. Just, I mean, like you said, I was the youngest player in the 2008 Olympic Games. And there was like a huge gap. There was a huge gap in like the prime of my career that the Olympics weren't in, you know, 2012, 2016, like, you know, throwing, I was in the prime time. So they say in the sport of softball for age and experience combined. So like that was a huge gap. And a lot of young kids didn't see that, didn't see softball in the Olympic Games during that year. But I think what's cool is now a lot of the women that watched and played softball and were fans in 2008, now their daughters are playing and they're watching, they watched the Tokyo Games and they watched me in the Olympics in Tokyo. And so now they have a kind of like this common bond with them and their daughter through me pitching a softball. Like, that's awesome. Like, that you know, really, and cool. I think we don't get enough credit as softball players and just female athletes being able to create that generational loyalty that maybe we see in baseball or we see in other sports, but seeing that generational being passed down, right? Being passed down from mother to daughter, from father to daughter, those things like that really make a difference because it's exciting. It's something that bonds families. It's something that creates growth in a sport, and it's something that also creates more people watching, right? Like more people watching and being a part of the game, being involved.
When you get a chance, you know, you talk about the fact that you did miss the Olympic experience when you were in the prime of your career, as people would dictate it. You also went out and pitched 6 games in the Tokyo Games. You threw 20 yeah. and a third innings, 7 hits, 1 unearned run, 31 strikeouts, 9 walks. You threw really, really well. When you obviously, you know, you don't reach the ultimate goal of a gold medal, but to look at your personal performance, how happy were you with the fact that, especially against team, you're not going against slouch lineups. This is not a circumstance where you're playing teams that got in because of a circumstance where, you know, they're not playing with their top group or they're just a weaker opponent. You had really good lineups on the other side. How pleased were you with what you were able to do in Tokyo?
Yeah, you know, I felt really good with my performance. Obviously, like I said, like I play to win, so I definitely wanted to win. But you know, I've kind of went into the Olympic Games thinking, you know, one is I don't want to have any regrets. Like I want to make sure that going into it, I'm prepared. Like I did my homework. I did the things I needed to do. Like I did the research. I had those conversations. I had those tough conversations with my coach, with my catcher, and all of those things. So like when going in, like I felt really prepared and ready. And I had a really strong, thank God. Like I had a really strong circle of people around me that were really like pushing me and challenging me to be a better athlete and to like do that work. So going in, like I felt really ready and prepared. I did my best to kind of help my teammates have that same mentality and that same attitude. And then, so once I hit the stadium, like it felt good to be out there. We had rehearsed, like Aubrey Munro and I, we had rehearsed it so many times. We had gone through everything that we could possibly go through. We knew how to adjust to things. And so I feel good about, you know, my performance and how I was able to represent USA.
Monica, when you see this generation that's coming up behind you now, you get to be somebody who is in a leadership role for the younger players on your roster. And not only that, but the next generation of softball stars, and knowing that, you know, Tokyo 2028 is the next goal on the Olympic calendar for USA softball. How cool is that for you to be in a position now where you kind of got to bookend the empty era of the Olympic chapter for softball? You bring it back in 2022 or in 2021 in Tokyo. And now 6 years from now, there's that next stage where it will be in the United States and where those young athletes who were talking to you at your event the other day could be on that roster. Right. To be in a leadership role for that, what excites you about being able to kind of prepare and lead that next generation to where they then take the baton?
Yeah, I think like I always think about impact, you know, impact and empowerment. Like how are we preparing them and how are we inspiring and motivating them? But I really do think being able to share the experience, the cool thing for me is like, you know, like you said, I bookended these last two Olympics, which is awesome. But what's even cooler is that I've been able to see, you know, the impact of each generation and the impact of the different stars and athletes in that. So like you know, I was fortunate to play with Crystal Bustos and Jenny Finch and Jessica Mendoza and Stacey Newman. And now I've seen their, you know, their influence on the athletes that are playing today. And that influence is cool because they're literally have the opportunity to potentially be the next athlete and now the next Olympic star. And now I get to see, you know, how, you know, maybe my influence in 2008 has impacted generations, and who knows, maybe, it, you know, from Tokyo Olympic Games, there's going to be that influence from the next generation and that gets to play in 2028.
Few more for you. I'm going to get you out of here. It's 6 years away, but do you want to declare right now on the podcast, are you going to say I'm there, I'm on that roster in LA?
You know, I'm going to say time will tell and we'll put that in God's hands. Who knows what he has in store for me next. But, you know, I've had a really good career so far. Most of it's been professionally. I've got, I mean, not everyone can say they've had two stints at the Olympic Games, you know, over 14 years apart. So, but, you know, who knows, you know, I don't want to put a limit on myself. You know, we're looking at athletes like Tom Brady,
right,
playing into his 40s. We're looking, you know, at some of our best baseball players playing well into their late 30s and early 40s, you know, your Derek Jeters and things like that. So we'll see. You never know. But hey, I'm not going to close the door. Time will tell.
Good. Okay. I got to ask you this question. A, are you a person who has gotten the Olympic rings tattoo as Olympians do? And B, you ever just like break out the medals and like walk around the house with them? I feel like if I won an Olympic medal, I would never take it off.
Yes. Question number one. Yes, I do have a Olympic rings tattoo. And question number two, I have not just broken out the medals to just walk around with it, but now I'm thinking that might be a good idea.
Yeah. Just like you're having a bowl of cereal. Just
every
like
every blue moon, just like put it on, like right. Oh, making pancakes on Sunday.
Absolutely. Like. I think it's a fantastic. Go to the grocery store. Oh, this, I forgot to take it off.
Oh, sorry.
Don't worry, I just about me.
Remind you guys, like.
All right, Monica, you've got stuff coming up in this 2022 year. The World Games in Birmingham coming up later on this summer. I know you're on that roster for USA Softball. And to be now at the stage of a year where you can kind of, like you said, take a breath, get back into some normalcy of life, not be just focused on making it to Tokyo, getting through the protocols and getting into the Olympic Games. What excites you most about this year, especially being on that USA Softball roster for Birmingham, you know, a home country event for the World Games? What in 2022 is most exciting to you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the World Games in Birmingham is going to be pretty awesome. One, mostly because it's like in the US, we're going to have fans, like people can actually go and watch. Like, I missed you guys, like come back, come back to the stadium. It's not the same without you. So yeah, I think that's probably what I'm most excited about. I also love that it's in the heart of SEC country.
Yeah.
So Southern East, Southeastern Conference. I obviously played from Tennessee, short drive. I played at Tennessee, short drive for all my Tennessee fans there. Faithful that have followed me through my career since college. But, you know, I love that it's in the heart of SEC, which has a booming softball conference right now and has had over the last like about 10 years. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about that. But mostly I think just for it to be in the United States, just to have, be able to have fans there and also just to have your people there, you know, like your close friends and family that probably would have been at the Olympic Games had they allowed fans. So I'm excited for that part.
And you'll be, you know, for our international listeners, the Southeastern Conference, a lot of rivalries. You'll be in the state of Alabama.
I know.
But you'll have people cheering for you, which is going to be a nice change in the state of Alabama.
Yes, exactly. So state of Alabama. Yeah. Go Vols. But...
And it's but, in a very
we're in Birmingham, which is a beautiful stadium. And actually, I've played there professionally with the Chicago Bandits.
Right.
I'm excited to be able to go back to that stadium And yeah, it's going to be warm. And
yeah, that is definitely true. Summer in Alabama. Anybody who is planning on making that trip, make sure that you are hydrated. If you are coming from somewhere that might be a little bit cooler, hydrate.
Bring a water bottle.
But yeah, the venue, really cool. The Hoover Met Complex, really cool venue that I know there's been a lot of work done on recently. And it's going to be a ton of fun with the World Games coming up later on this summer. And Monica Abbott, two-time Olympian silver medalist and USA baseball star and stalwart headed into these World Games in 2022. Thank you so much for the time. Congrats on all the success to this stage, and you know, 2028 we'll maybe see you in LA.
Never know.
Thanks, Monica. That'll do it for this month's edition of the Global Game Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned to all things WBSC at wbsc.org. And again, a tremendous thanks to Monica Abbott for joining the show. You can find her on Twitter at Monica Abbott. She's on Instagram as well. And somebody who's getting set for more big moments on the big international stages coming up here in 2022. Again, massive thanks everyone for tuning in. Until next time, my name is Tyler Mon. Thanks for joining us on this month's edition of the Global Game. Talk to you next time from WBSC.